Thanks for joining us. You can always catch the latest sermon online, but we sure would love to see you join us in person to celebrate and support each other in our love for God, our neighbors, and this church. We are South Britain Congregational Church. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And now, enjoy another great Sunday sermon, and we hope to see you soon.
Our second scripture reading comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 6, 27 to 38. But I say to you here, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. To one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from one who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who begs from you, and from one who takes away your goods, do not demand them back. And as you wish that others would do to you, do so to them. If you love those who love you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those for whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to get back the same amount. But love your enemies, do good, and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Be merciful as your Father is merciful. Judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use it, it will be measured back to you. As I've talked about as being a parent, sometimes the things that my parents say somehow magically come out of my mouth. And I don't know if there's anybody else out there, but when I was growing up, I would say to my mom, I hate lima beans. I think I still do. I don't even think I've even had a lima bean as an adult. Maybe I should do that this week. But once the words are out of my mouth, what did my mother say? That old slice of Americana wisdom that says, you hate lima beans? Hate is a strong word? Oh, okay. I do the same thing with my kids. They say, I hate something. Immediately, I was like, hate is a strong word. I don't even know what that means. But to soften it a bit, all of us, maybe hate is a strong word. But maybe some of us find people that are easier to love or more difficult to love. And if we probe deep enough, we might even find that we don't like them at all. In fact, some of us might even admit to the fine line of using that strong word of hate. There's a great commentary of Luke by Philip Ryken, and he tells a story about Ernest Gordon, who was in World War II, and he was imprisoned in a Japanese work camp on the River Kwai in World War II. And he talks about his experience there, and he was sent to the camp, and it was awful conditions and horrible, and it was kind of one of the lowest points of his life. But in the providence of God and through some of his army friends, he didn't die, but he survived. But more than that, a lot of the people that had gone through that together, they found more stronger faith in Christ, in Jesus, and they learned to love each other. And the people who maybe before all of this happened, they weren't so close to or they felt divided from, but going through that together, they learned to love each other. But he still found it impossible to love his enemies. Gordon wrote this. He said, we learned from the Gospels that Jesus had his enemies just as we had ours. There was a difference. He loved his enemies. He prayed for them. We hated our enemies. We could see how wonderful it was that Jesus forgave in this way, yet for us to do the same was beyond our attainment. And so Gordon is saying the sticky part of this passage, saying whether it's, seems to be beyond attainment or not, Jesus says to his disciples, you got to love your enemies. And he says, why do we have to love our enemies? It says God says to. We love our enemies because it's a command that God gives to us. It's very important to keep in mind the context of this sermon where it's a sermon on the plain and he's talking to the disciples and he's sharing, like we shared last week, about how to live life the way that God is calling us to. And he said, endure, you're going to endure poverty and hunger and sorrow and persecution, but it's going to be a blessing to you. And then hits him with this one in verse 27. He says, but I say to you who hear, love your enemies. Jesus' disciples probably at this point were taken aback. Like what? Like we were talking about with the kids this morning, right? Like the worst thing you want to do to your enemy is not love them, right? You want to throw eggs at their house. Listen. Jesus says, how in the world do we love our enemies? And it's so important because the, you know, Greek has these different words for love. And so there's filial love, like Philadelphia, which is the city of brotherly love, or, you know, family love, friendship love. There's four different words, but this one is what we talked about before, is agape. Agape is different because it's not based on natural affection or romantic love or friendship love. It's based on being a willful choice towards, and it's empowered by God. It's loving, choosing to love in the face of not choosing to love. Ryken says, Jesus called his disciples to show a deliberate affection that was not based on what was deserved, but on the grace of God. Another, Kent Hughes says, agape love supersedes natural inclinations and exists in spite of them. It's a deliberate love rooted in will. So this is the kind of love he's saying, when you love your enemies, it's an intentional love. But so, okay, we understand that idea. The idea of love is so easy, but then what about our enemies? Jesus says, love this way with your enemies. So how do we do that? Right? That's the biggest thing. That's the most important thing, because we can say it in our mind. Yeah, we're supposed to, everyone knows, Jesus says, love your enemies, but how do we do that? And he says in this scripture that we love our enemies by our actions. In verse, he said, do good to those who hate you. Think of someone who hates you. Pause for a second. And maybe you don't have anybody, but just pretend like somebody hates you. Maybe just think of somebody who really dislikes you, maybe. Or maybe, you know, think of something that you can do that's intentionally good for that person. And then Jesus says, just do it. It's that simple. Give a gift. Mail them a gift card anonymously. If it's a neighbor, do something to help them and they may not know that it's you. If it's a coworker, find a way to brighten their day. This all looks so different, but the heart of it is clear, because like we talked about, what do we usually do? Usually we do the opposite of that, right? We don't maybe intentionally do hurtful things, but we do stuff. We're not going to go over and above. The problem is that we do everything we can to avoid the people that Jesus is talking about. We don't want to have anything to do with that person. But Jesus said, do good to those who hate you. But another way that we love our enemies, Jesus said, is by our words. In 6:28, he says, bless those who curse you. Again, this is think of the person who does these things, who says something that's hurtful or harmful or something like that. Don't respond in kind. Instead, you respond with a blessing, with a well-wishing, with something positive. Don't be defensive, but instead wish good things for them out loud in our hearts. We also love our enemies by our words. We love our enemies, like we said with the kids this morning, through our prayers. He says, pray for those who hurt you. Has someone mistreated you, been spiteful towards you? Maybe you feel deeply wounded or hurt. Again, maybe you don't want to have anything to do with that person, but Jesus says you have to be intentional and you have to pray for them. It's almost impossible to pray for someone and hate someone at the same time. What do we pray for? How do we pray that? We just pray that God's grace will overwhelm them, that they'll know God's love and feel worthwhile, really embrace that they're a child of the divine. When you pray that, that's how we love our enemy. Does it sound hard? No? Everyone's got it? Okay, good. Well, we can stop there. That's exactly the point, that it's hard. Jesus gave illustrations on the rest of the scripture on what that looks like, because he's saying, well, how else? He doesn't leave them there. He said, give us more. And saying, we love our enemies by enduring the insults. We love our enemies by, Jesus says, if someone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other one. Some see that Jesus is kind of referring to an insult and not really talking about being struck. But Gospel of Matthew says the same thing in 5 in the Sermon on the Mount. And if in the ancient world, if a person wanted to insult someone, they slapped the person with the back of their hand on the opposite cheek. So a right-handed person would slap someone this way that they wanted to insult. Jesus is not condemning, he's not condoning or commenting on physical violence, but he's telling the disciples that a way to show love to the enemy is to endure the insults. Maybe we've endured insults from people in our lives before, and so what we do is we take it on in a way of loving them. That enduring it and the bearing it is a way of love. Another way that we can love our enemies is by suffering loss. And he says in 29, for whoever takes your cloak away, don't hold back your tunic. Don't, you know, if somebody takes your sweatshirt, give them your T-shirt, as long as you're wearing something else. Let's not get weird here, okay? But Jesus calls his disciples to be willing to suffer loss. because we're called to be more concerned about the needs of the other people, even if they're the enemies, even if they're people that are being hard on us or hurtful towards us, we're still called to care for their needs. He's saying if someone is desperate enough to take the cloak, you know, or your coat, let them have the shirt off your back. The first church that I served at as a youth pastor, I remember someone broke into the church and they stole a bunch of Bibles. I know it sounds like a TV show or something. But then I thought about it, I was like, well, if somebody really wanted Bibles that bad, like, take them. You know, like, good, I'm glad they kind of, you know, I'm not condoning breaking in to steal Bibles. But I was like, the idea that somebody would be, like, that much want that thing so badly to steal it, then it's like, oh. And this is what he's saying. By going above and beyond takes power and control and love, and it takes it back to us. The great example of this is from Les Mis. If you like the musical, it's in the musical. If you like the book, it's in there too. But the idea of when Jean Valjean, he steals from the church that he's staying at, and they catch him, and he goes back into the, they bring him back, and they say, this guy stole from the church. And the pastor instead says, oh, he didn't steal those, I gave them to him. And you forgot the other things. You forgot the candlesticks that I was going to give you too. That's the example of going above. That's suffering a loss out of love for the person. And that's what we strive for as Jesus calls us to. And it ties into the last one, which is loving our enemies by sharing generously. Give to anyone who begs from you. You know, and that one's a really hard one because it's like, well, what if somebody comes up and says, you know, contest us after church? Be like, can I borrow $20 and just see what happens? We love our enemies by sharing generously. The word here is ask. When somebody asks us of something, we give above and beyond. We love our enemies by abandoning the idea of payback. And so sharing in that means that we just let them take what they need. People stealing, but rather people borrowing and not returning what's borrowed as we're supposed to let it go. If anybody likes the Simpsons, there's a great, the neighbor Ned Flanders is kind of an evangelical, he's a Christian. And Homer Simpson will borrow stuff from him all the time, and he goes over and he tries to borrow more. And you go in his closet, Homer Simpson's closet, and it has a property of Ned Flanders on it. And he always goes over and be like, can I borrow your lawnmower? He's like, well, you didn't really bring back my hedge clippers. He's like, oh, I'll bring that back. Don't worry. And Ned Flanders over and over again lets Homer keep borrowing all of his stuff. Jesus said that we're called to not harass them for their goods. But how do we do this? Jesus calls us to always err on the side of generosity. There's always a moment to give and care and give generously and above and beyond in any moment. So what does it look like? There's a great story after the collapse of the Berlin Wall. In 1989, the people in all of East Germany were the person that was most despised was Erich, my German is not very good, but Honecker. He had been stripped of all of his office. He was the communist dictator who was in charge. Even the Communist Party at that point rejected him. He was kicked out of his villa. The new government refused to give his wife and family housing. They were homeless and destitute. And the pastor and the director of a Christian help center in Berlin was made aware of this of their difficulties, and so he felt it would be wrong to give them a room meant for even more needy people. So the pastor and his family decide to take this former dictator into their own home. Eric and his wife Margaret had ruled East German educational system for 26 years. 8 of his children had been turned down for higher education due to their policy. So the pastor who was bringing this person in was like hurt by this person. They were discriminated against because they were Christians. And now they were caring for this personal enemy, the most hated person in Germany. It was so unnatural, so unconventional, so supernaturally sublime and so Christ-like. But by the grace of God, the Homers loved their enemies. They did them good, blessed them, and prayed for them. They turned the other cheek. They gave their enemies their coat or their home in this case. They did to them what they would have wished the Homers would have done to them. So what do we get from this? The hard thing. We're called as Christians to love our enemies. How did Jesus respond? He responded by loving them. We'll see that as we come into the Lent and into Easter time. He says, on the cross, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So as we close, I want to finish up the story about Ernest Gordon, because he did learn how to love his enemies, the Japanese, for him at that time. After the war ended and he was heading back from the River Kwai, they were heading back to Britain and traveling through Asia by train along the way. They ended up at a railway station full of wounded Japanese soldiers. And Gordon said, he said they were in a shocking state. I'd never seen people filthier. The uniforms were encrusted with mud, blood. and worse. Their wounds were inflamed and full of awful things. The wounded men looked forlorn and sat with their hands resting against the carriages, waiting fatalistically for death. They were the refuse of war. There was nowhere to go and no one to care for them. They were the enemy. But then Gordon says how the soldiers responded. Without a word, most of the officers in my section unbuckled their packs, took out part of their ration, or a rag or two, a water canteen in their hands, and went over to the Japanese to help them. They knelt by the side of the enemy to give them food and water to clean, bind their wounds, smile, and try to say a kind word. But not everyone was pleased with this remarkable display of compassion. One of the Allied officers said, "You guys are all fools. Don't you realize that those are the enemy?" And Gordon and the other officers realized that was exactly the point. The dying soldiers were the enemy, and for very good reason, Gordon and his friends were called to love them and do good for them in that moment. They learned to give this kind of love from the same place that we can learn to give. Jesus died and calls us to give us this love to other people, including the people who might be the hardest to love. So we follow God and we let love win. Amen. Amen.